So, you know, more information about, you know, living in the real world. So you've been, you know, maybe the Matrix appeals to you, because there's that phrase said by Morpheus to Neo. There's a lot of things that are said in the Matrix, you know, but there's this one thing where he says, like, you've been living in a dream world, Neo. You know, it's a very sci-fi version of reality, and I think, you know, we're moving towards that. I think people in the future will be shocked at the things that's going on within that Matrix movie is very much like a metaphor about what's going on in our world today. It says more about the present than what it does the future. But I think, you know, at some stage in the future, people will be living in these virtual reality worlds, possibly unaware that they're living in virtual reality worlds, cradle to grave virtual reality worlds, in the way that we're living in cradle to grave propaganda systems today. And when they occur, they'll be like, oh, the Matrix was supposed to be a dystopian fiction, it wasn't supposed to be real, how can this be going on? And I think a lot of people, like my age, perceive like George Orwell's 1984, it was supposed to be fiction, it wasn't supposed to be real. Actually, George Orwell was writing about the times that he lived in back in 1948. I think I've mentioned before in this talk folder that, you know, the war was originally with Eurasia, as in Nazi Germany, and then suddenly the war was with East Asia, i.e. the Soviet Union. This was something that was in his book that represented a reality that was happening at the time of like 1948, just after 1945, when the World War II ended and the Cold War started, you know. And there's a few things that are written in the novel that's very poignant for the times, you know. So George Orwell was using like sci-fi devices within a novel that was fictionalising the realities of the world that they were living in those days. If you can imagine what a ration book is, without a ration book you didn't have access to food. So there's a whole load of people that were starved to death in Britain at the end of World War II. And you might think, well, it must be the fascists, must be the Nazis, but that whole information has been sort of deleted. You know, you can look at it and you can put two and two together and say, a whole bunch of people were starving. Maybe they were like fascists within Britain, they were just starved to death. They didn't get a ration book. Maybe they were just gypsies. Maybe they were just Jews. Maybe they were just... Because when you look at the Holocaust, there was a British concentration camp for Jews within Cyprus. And that existed even after World War II. I mean, when you look at some of the things that you see in history, it's like anomalous compared to the version of reality that you've seen. But one thing's for sure, what the Nazis represent in Cold War Europe is an extreme evil. But this evil goes on in every country in the world to some extent. I'm saying the European Union is on steroids right now. You know, they didn't have any problems with suicide clinics. The people who were pushing suicide clinics, the people who were pushing European Union integration, were slowly but surely encouraging the population to accept abortion. Not as some like occasional thing that must be done in a situation where like, a mother's going to die in the process of giving birth, but just as a thing that might, you know, the peasants might want to take that up out of economic convenience. The money that they print out of thin air is more valuable than the lives of the children that should be using money merely as a tool rather than a survival technique that they're forced into living in under these master race regimes that we're living in today. So the real world is very, very different from that world that they've had you believing in on television. And, you know, maybe in the future when, you know, virtual reality is full-scale virtual reality, they'll be waking up thinking, you know, what many people my age do, that George Orwell is supposed to be fiction, and look what they're doing, they all do. And so a lot of the sort of, like, you know, fictional devices like view screens and, you know, there's a lot of like talk technology that wasn't actually available in 1948 that was invented into a George Orwell sci-fi novel, you know. So in a kind of sort of way, the Matrix has told us a lot about, you know, what's going on in our world today. But it uses a lot of sci-fi devices to, you know, enhance the experience of watching the movie or reading the book, so to speak. And you know, at some point in the future, they'll maybe invent that technology and people will be waking up thinking, like, the Matrix was about the future, and the Matrix is actually about the present. In fact, it was years ago. It's about the past now. We've moved on significantly. But that whole ideology of the master race that run the Matrix, you know, the architect, that is very much something that's been around since Herod was killing infants in Judea, since Julius Caesar was, you know, that they are mass murderers. And, you know, like I was saying in the previous audio cast, it's the Jews. It simply isn't the truth. There are Jews who are involved in it, certainly, but it's the government. It's the systems that we're living in. And, you know, what the master race wants is, you know, the automatic, you know, human responses. Why don't we just have a human world for human beings? Where we all just treat each other the way that we ourselves want to be treated. There are no political borders. I think I'll just go to Singapore today and hi, people from Singapore. I can't speak Singaporeese, but I can certainly pick it up. What, who are you? What he's like? You know, that would be a human world to live in, but that doesn't exist because of these political borders. And these political borders are basically slave plantations. And the only people who are at liberty in this world are the people who are in line with the slave owners. And the way you've been indoctrinated by that system which has controlled your mind from the cradle, and you're now waking up, there are some people who will never wake up, is that, well, slavery is a thing of the past, and it only happens to black people, and some people, victims of modern slavery, who are people from other countries that, you know, you're concerned about because you're a human, but it's really not you, it's somebody else that's happening to, so it's other people, you know. But this is happening to you, and it's happening to your people, but it's being concealed by media narratives that are all over the place. You know, in the minds of the people consuming TV, like it's fresh water, it's poison. And, you know, the advocates of the master race, the people who support the Nazi regime, they will say it's not slavery and you're a nutty conspiracy theorist and you should be locked up because you're crazy and you're mentally ill, etc. Incarceration without trial is just a normal thing for them. You might not have noticed that in the mental health system. Those people are being incarcerated and they've never been found guilty of any crime. That's against the law. So there's the law as an obey thy master, which I reject. I reject that as an evil called slavery. And there's the law as in don't do harm to your fellow human beings, which is a crime the master race is committing and the supporters of the master race are committing every single day of their lives. So when you disobey the master race, you do good for your fellow human beings. And when you obey the master race, you do evil against them. So, you know, waking up to what it is you've been living in is harsh, because we don't have some, oh, by the way, and at the end of it, there's nice fluffy clouds to live in. You know, it's a harsh state of affairs. The fairy tale reality that was presented to you on your TV is nothing but psychological warfare. Operated against you from the day you were born. Operated against the minds of your parents. Operated against the minds of your grandparents. And you're waking up to the fact that you're compelled to obey and disregard of your consent through the threat of violence of the state and the threat of, you know, non-violent, harmful behaviours threatened by the state. You know, when you realise that is the situation, you are compelled to obey and disregard of your will. You know, it's all very well that in that situation, you're not in any position to give or refuse consent. You might say, well, of course I consent, because not to consent means, you know, these people engaged in harmful behaviours are going to harm me, so I'm just going to say I consent. But you couldn't possibly consent, because to consent is to give an affirmative of what you, it's a voluntary thing. You know, being forced to consent is kind of like, hey, I'm a young buck and I fancy having sex with you. Would you like to, you know, take down your knickers and get your legs open, please? And, you know, it's the woman's like, well, I don't want to go along with that. But it's, I'm holding a knife to her throat. So of course you're consenting to this. would you say that that's, and it might be a bit kinky, you know, because, you know, you maybe understand I'm too human to be like that, you know, but, you know, it'd be kinky in that sort of sense, you know, but if you can understand the realities of that situation, would you say it's rape? Well, they do that every single day. Nobody has ever consented to these systems of slavery. And it involves your labour being taxed from you. Now, you don't pay taxes in the form of money because you don't have any money. The only thing that you have is your ability to perform labour for people that never pay you enough to actually cover. You know, you can't afford employees because you're not paid enough. You know, 1 hour of your time is worth, well, I'm going to say £10, right? It's actually more than that now, you know, because the monetary values. So let's say it was worth £10, right? Now, you would think, well, I get £10 for working for that guy for an hour. That's cool. I've now got £10 to employ that guy to work for me for an hour. But that's simply not the case. The system of slavery that compels you to obey says, well, see the labour that you've done. 20% of that belongs to us in the form of income tax, and you must pay that in the currency that we manufacture out of thin air and give to your friends to enforce this system of taxation and war and child kidnap and all the crimes against humanity that's being committed by the state on a daily basis. That you've never consented to, you've never been in a position to consent to it. And there are people who go along with it who've never been in a position to consent to it because their view is that if they fuck over their neighbours by joining that system enslaving everyone, they can get a nicer life. Their neighbours are going to get fucked up because of it if they don't join in cahoots with all those people betraying their neighbours. But they don't give a shit because they're getting a nicer life. And then they'll sit there and say, I'm a good person. Why? Or because I'm in the police. Or because I'm in the civil service. Or because I've got a position within the state. And when you look at it closely, you know, it's, you start to realise that these people are incapable of human love. You know, I can understand, you know, a bit like a temp worker or something like that that's, well, gave it a shot because I've heard all this news about how the government are the good guys. And they managed to secure a temporary role or something like that. And then they realise what they're doing. It's like, I want out of this fucking shit. I'm not having anything to do with this. But some people take to it like a duck to water, power over other people. And that is what the system is comprised of. A whole pyramid of it. These people are incapable of human love because what they love is power. And they make out they're the good guys all over their propaganda networks, telling you how brave and courageous the police are. And you know, if you're a kid, you've never lived in the adult world and you've perceived the police to be the brave, courageous, you know, people that you get to see in the TV programmes and the soap operas. You are heuristically manipulated even when you're past childhood and you're into adulthood. And you're seeing police behave in the way they actually behave. It can be actually shocking to you. I mean, for the most part, they're not doing anything apart from, you know, driving up beside you when you're not doing anything wrong, you know. For the most part, that they're not doing anything. But when they do something, what is it they're doing? They're not chasing a thief that stole a granny's handbag. You know, because that's a civil matter, that's not a police matter. The granny has to find out who stole her handbag and then take it to court in a private prosecution because it's a civil matter. Even the granny that can't afford, because all her money was stolen in that handbag. Well, that's not the police's problem. The police are there to enforce the political policies of the state. Make sure that people obey the master, make sure the slaves obey the master, and you never had any choice over this, nor did your parents. But they went along with it and helped to indoctrinate you to a system of slavery that, you know, the system hopes you never woke up to. And now they've got this thing called conspiracy theorists, anarchists, you know, the people who are basically relating truths that's inconvenient to the terrorist regimes that have been ruling over your life for the day dot. They'll steal your children, they'll send your children off to war to go and kill, to expand the expansionist terrorist regime. They don't have any compassion, it's not possible for the, like, you know, to work in the government. And I don't mean like some, you know, new start that's like, what is all this about? But someone who's awake and aware of what it is the government does on a daily basis, having to sort of delete things from their mind and not think about things because it makes them unhappy and depressed because of what it makes them guilty. It makes them feel the guilt that they are guilty of crimes against humanity, being complicit in all of that. And they might say, well, I didn't steal anybody's children. That was the social work department that did that. I worked for another department that plunges people into the gutter, into poverty, unable to get the money that the people funding these government departments, they fund these government departments out of money made out of thin air, and these government departments don't have enough money to ride the people that they're plunging into poverty. You want a job, well, you need to pay taxes, and those taxes are not paid in money that the system creates out of thin air. Because you don't have money that the system creates out of thin air. It doesn't give you any money that the system creates out of thin air. The only thing you've got is your labour. It's your labour that's being taxed. It's your labour that's being stolen from you and given to those people who are getting the free money to afford your labour for free, according to a structure manufactured by a system of slavery that you can't vote out of existence. There is no civil mechanism in order to bring about the destruction of those who are destroying you from one generation to the next. So revolution's on the cards, you know, and what happens in a revolution? Well, a new group of tyrants take over. And do you know what they do? They create a fake democracy for the people they're enslaving to vote for. It doesn't matter which party they vote for in the fake democracy. The party that won the last revolution or won the last war always gets into power. And there's nothing you can do to get rid of them. And that's what you're living in. And the idea that you can get human rights protections from a system that creepy, only if you're in full compliance with what its masters want. And the human rights thing was supposed to be something for every human being on the planet as a bare minimum. And there's countries like the United Kingdom where they're having to use censorship to conceal the nature of reality from the neighbours of the people who are suffering these gross indignities. And it's not just Britain, lots of countries in the world, especially European Union countries. Nothing against the people of the Republic of France, but if you understand that if you're living in France, there are now two countries in France, there are people who are allied with the people of the United Kingdom who are, you know, they're strongly supportive of the Republic of France, who are supported by people in Britain that support their right to support the Republic of France, but there are also people in their country that we might describe as European Unionists. They're not communists, they're fascists. Suicide clinics, surveillance apparatus, heavy propaganda, you know, they're the most extremist forms of this these tyrannical systems of slavery which exist. You know, the things that Adolf Hitler did is not much different from what they're okaying today. And if there's people working for government departments, well, you're up to your neck in it, mate. And when the revolution comes, if they kill you and you didn't denounce it before the revolution, if you're only denouncing it at the point of revolution, that's great. You know, you could maybe be cannon fodder in a revolution. I'm not going to support the leaders of a new revolution, but I'm not going to oppose them. Because I oppose the European Union and look what it done to me. And there's nothing I can do to, you know, undo the damage that they've done to what is ostensibly a naive, innocent kid that was not awake and aware to how fake the democracy was, how fake the European Union's democracy is. And compared to the things that Margaret Thatcher was doing to the miners, kicking shit out of working class people for not working hard enough, not dying on command. Well, the European Union's still doing that. The new terrorist regime is still doing that. And doubling down on it, with suicide clinics and other nefarious practices. And these ideologies are not restricted to the European Union. You know, the suicide clinics, for a very good example, are now in Canada, they are now in state in the US states. They're just killing people off. We can say for sure that 5 or 10% of the people went through those Dutch suicide clinics when they were first installed by the European tyrants in 2007, 5 or 10% of them were not of mental capacity to make a decision to end their own lives, and they falsely, you know, made up a story that these people were committing suicide, and the people who were assisting their involuntary suicide were not in fact engaged in the act of murder. Murder at the hands of the state itself, mass murder, crimes against humanity. That is what the European Union has done. They've normalised it to say, oh, is it not good that if Granny wants to die, she's allowed to die? Well, if Granny doesn't want to live, she can stop breathing. But I can say for sure, Granny does not want to die. In the narratives of the state, they would turn your own family against you. So I was waking up to all the I was waking up to, you know, the realities of the system that I was living in when I was 19 years of age, and I've seen a lot. Trying to relate things to my friends, family, has been a very difficult thing, you know, because the idea that I should speak the truth is a terrifying state of affairs to them. They would sooner have faith in their television celebrities than members of their own family, than their own friends. The two-dimensional people on their television, that's what they love. As for the actual human beings, they could not care less. Their eyes are warped by the lens of television propaganda in every issue. The people that fought against Adolf Hitler were utterly opposed to abortion. So much so, you know, you've maybe heard stories of backstreet abortion clinics. There are situations where I would say it's not, I can't say it's morally right to kill a baby, but sometimes it's not morally wrong if the mother's going to die in the process of giving birth, you know. But the people back then were so opposed to abortion that people might have found it difficult, you know, to save their lives in the process of giving birth, you know. And the people that are promoting all this, like, you know, convenience abortions and morning after pills, you know, genociding the peasantry of the countries they control, using propaganda to manipulate the minds of people, you know, this is now normalised. And it was heinous to the people that fought Adolf Hitler, and they claim to be the successors to the people that fought against Adolf Hitler, despite what happened in 1993, where a very Germanocentric European Union took control over all the countries in Europe and sort of bribed, you know, politicians and power elites, you know, to say, well, why? I mean, you could have a big slice of the pie here in this big new European Union. Why don't you lend your support to us? In disregard of the people of Europe themselves. The people of Europe are now, you know, the people of the European Union are nothing but cattle. And their only way out is, well, either us, you know, to support the so-called people that hate the immigrants, that support Margaret Thatcher, Donald Trump, and child sex parties in Epstein Island. Or they can join in cahoots with the monsters that control the European Union. But the idea of being anything but slaves in the European Union is not a viable situation which could possibly exist. So like I'm saying, you've been living in a dream, Neil. That virtual reality world within the Matrix is pretty much representative of what it is to live a life where all information about the world that you're living in is warped through the lens of television propaganda. So whenever you hear, like, you know, someone who hasn't denounced the crimes of government, especially, you know, the governments of the European Union, whenever you hear one of these people, they've never said anything to denounce the crimes against humanity, which should be visible to somebody that's woken up. Certainly it's not something they want to see, those people who are guilty, and they don't want people talking about it. But, you know, when you hear them going on about, oh, look what Russia did, and oh, look what Donald Trump did, and oh, look, and it's funny the amount of stuff that they deliberately don't notice. And they want us to be concerned about Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. It's not our problem, it's theirs. Because they've created problems for us, and the problems that they've created from us, as far as they're concerned, is not their problems, but ours. And it's problems they created for us. And now they've got problems, and it's not your problem, because your problems You didn't create the problems of Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin for them. They created that for themselves, and it's their problems. But the problems that you've got living under their regime of terror is problems they've created for you. And they, you know, take nothing to do with the problems they've created. They take no responsibility for their own actions. And now they've got problems with Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. It's their problems. And they're going to tell you, oh, look at this terrible thing that's happening over here. It's like, well, you haven't mentioned anything about the exact same terrible things that are going on over here. You know, they talk about Kim Jong-un and North Korea's dictatorship, you know. And it's like, so what's your problem with that? At least in North Korea, you can walk your dog in a park and the dog will do a shit. And, you know, the dog shit in North Korea just goes where dog shit's always gone throughout history. It just goes in and fertilises the grass, you know. Smoking in your place of work, it's not that tyrannical a dictatorship when you look at the freedoms that they've got in North Korea. But they're always on about, oh, North Korea this, North Korea that, North Korea the next thing. Let's talk about Tiananmen Square. So back in, I don't know, 1989, something like that, the late 80s, there was a big protest in China. So Tiananmen Square is the central square of Beijing, or Peking as it used to be known to us back then. And there was a big protest that happened in Tiananmen Square. It was all over the world's media. The world's media was reporting this. It was on the BBC. That was before the European Broadcasting Union took control of it illegally. But we're not living in a world of law and order. We're living in a world of dictatorship and control. But anyway, this story was in the BBC. It was in CNN. It was all over the Western world. And it might have even been in, you know, the Eastern sphere, you know, where like Russia and Ukraine were the best of buddies, but terrible Cold War rivals, you know. But it's very famous, an incident, you know, at Tiananmen Square. It wasn't just the protests that happened, but the way the Chinese media was reacting to this. So Beijing's like a big metropolis, you know, so there's people maybe, you know, 10 miles away from Tiananmen Square that are living in Beijing. It's not being reported in the media that 10 miles away in the middle of it, there's a big, massive protest, like hundreds of thousands of people gathering. And being, you know, the Chinese Communist Party decided that military tanks were in order to suppress the people protesting against the regime's control. And, it wasn't reported in the media what was going on just 10 miles away. You know, and as for somebody that was living in Shanghai or some other city, they had no opportunity to even know about it at all. But if you live 10 miles away, you wouldn't know about it. You wouldn't know there was a protest going on. And that was all over the media, like the BBC was denouncing Chinese media as like fake media back then. Now, there was a protest called the Occupy Movements. I went to one in Glasgow. And for 2 weeks, there was people protesting in George Square, which is the central square of Glasgow. There's people protesting in Trafalgar Square. There's people and the media wasn't covering it. You could live 10 miles away and have no idea that there was a protest going on in your central square. The BBC denounced these practices when the Chinese Communist Party was doing it, but when the BBC starts behaving like the Chinese Communist Party, information is censored, but the fact that information is censored. This is the reality of the terrorist regime that you're living in. And this is where the phrase comes from, the revolution will not be televised. Because the television industry operates for the system which enslaves you. You do not have any right to vote. Well, you don't have any practical right to vote for someone that is not supported by the media corporations. If there is someone that's going to do something about the systemic injustice going on in our world, the European Broadcasting Union will not lend any credence. In fact, if a person like that arises, they will attack and destroy the reputation of that person. Donald Trump being a key example. Donald Trump had the balls to stand up and say, look, there's no democracy in Europe. And ever since then, the European Broadcasting Union the BBC included, they've been doing everything to character assassinate him, including the speech splicing, which was so world famous about 2 or 3 weeks ago. But this is not the first time I've witnessed this. And the run up to the war on terror, I'd seen a video of Saddam Hussein with subtitles because nobody in Britain can speak Arabic. And Saddam Hussein, you know, on the video says the word Americano. I can't speak Arabic, but I assume it means Americans. Well, American never came up in the subtitles. Nothing that can be construed as being what Americano meant came up in the subtitles. So what Saddam Hussein was saying in the video was not what was being shown on the subtitles. This is propaganda, and if you've been believing that, you're living inside a deception. It's not just like, or did let some guy lie to you and you believed it and right now you know better. It's you're living in a very deliberate system designed to deceive you from the cradle to the grave. There is no, all right, I've got that lie now, so okay, I'm okay. Well, you're consuming even more lies. It is a continual, deliberate process of manipulating your mind to believe in a fake reality. And if you're still consuming media, then as far as I'm concerned, and as far as people like me is concerned, you're not safe in your mind. You believe in contradictions. Like, for example, the vaccine's safe and effective is the official story, right? And even today, you know, from BBC, the European Broadcasting Union is still pushing it. Oh, the people that died in COVID, they've never apologised to the unvaccinated yet. The actual real story of the unvaccinated is people who refuse to go along with Nuremberg Code violations. The official story of the European Broadcasting Union, the terrorist regimes, is that the unvaccinated are responsible for killing granny. And anybody that mentions Nuremberg Code violations are to be hated and ignored. So if you totally ignore people who are saying, I'm unvaccinated and this is the reason why, you don't actually know what the unvaccinated have to say for themselves. But you know what the enemies of the unvaccinated have to say about them. So your perspective of unvaccinated people is going to be what the terrorist regime has told you. When you hear what the unvaccinated have to say, and you might find it a bit hard to believe, you know, it's like there's no way the media could lie like this. They do it all the time. There was no, like the Epstein files is not about sex parties in a Caribbean island. The Epstein files is about vote rigging. That was the files that Donald Trump took to Mar-a-Lago at the end of his first presidency. The I think it was the Department of Justice that raided his home in order to, you know, bury the evidence that the voting was rigged there. But you have to understand that CNN and Fox News basically control who can and cannot get political office there. So even before the ballot boxes are being rigged, the whole system is rigged by the successors to the people that won the last revolution. The Department of Justice, I believe, according to the court documents that restricted those files from being released. You know, those files are all about vote rigging. And the only reason they withheld Volume 2 was because the Department of Justice lied through their teeth before the court, and the court identified that. And, you know, the court was willing to release those files, except under their own cognizance. They're like, well, wait a minute here, look, we're being lied to here. We'll release Volume 1, but Volume 2, we're holding that back because why is the Department of Justice lying to us? And that's not being reported in the media, is it? Occupy movements are not being reported in the media. Tiananmen Square is not being reported in the media. And dare you believe that shit? The real world is very different from the world that has been pulled over your eyes. And I wish I could tell you that the real world is a big fairy tale, you know, it's wonderful. See, once you're free from all the media propaganda, everything works out great, it's fantastic. You're living in the clouds and you're really, really happy and you're not sort of, when you realise what you've been living in, your problems in life are created by that system. When you wake up to that system, it's you realise the source of your problems. Your problems aren't resolved. But it gives you like one tool, you know, to wake someone up to the realities of that is to receive one tool, to give someone one tool to help them fix the problems that the system's creating. And obviously, the system itself is a problem. You know, if you intend to have children, and you're going to raise those children to be aware that the system is evil, you know, that people like, you know, Adolf Hitler can, you know, arise in the world, and people like Adolf Hitler are in power, do you know they're going to go out of their way to steal your children, abduct them and say, oh, your children aren't safe. To protect your children, we're going to take away your children because we believe that, and the whole system's rigged, you know. What I'm saying is, look, these people need to go to international authorities to have the lack of legitimacy recognised internationally. And if in that situation, if they could actually demonstrate that somehow they had some legitimacy to somewhere, certainly not democratic, because you've seen, you know, after the Brexit referendum, after the Irish referendum, these places, these rare situations where referendums have managed to occur, that the reaction to, you know, the people telling them to go and take a run and fuck to themselves is that, well, these people are unimportant, that their views don't matter. The majority of the people that voted against European integration, not only denouncing future relations with the European Union, but denouncing all those 27 years of power broken by the you know, the all the pro-EU integration propaganda that existed for, you know, they've denounced all that in one referendum. And the attitude of the European Broadcasting Union was that the majority don't count. The majority are irrelevant. The majority is just something we need to propagandise the people that, they, that they've got in cahoots with them to hate and ignore. To hate and ignore the democracy itself. There's no democratic legitimacy. That much is clear. Whether you support the European Union, whether you don't support the European Union, the majority don't go along with it, and they're killing off the people that aren't going along with it, using genocide as described in the Genocide Convention, not genocide as described by Benjamin Netanyahu dropping bombs like he's Vladimir Putin dropping bombs in Ukraine. That sort of stuff is dealt with by the Geneva Convention. Genocide is the crimes that the government commit against its own people during peacetime. They're genociding those that aren't going along with their tyrannical regime. That's truth. And part and parcel of these, in the Genocide Convention, it describes how it is these terrorists will steal your children. And they do so under the guise of, oh, it's because we love children, we've decided to take the children of these politically inconvenient people and hand them over to these more politically convenient people. This is described exactly in the Genocide Convention. It's funny how it's not the news. It's not within the European Broadcasting Union's, it's not considered newsworthy that there's major violations of international covenants, major violations of the Nuremberg Code. That's not newsworthy to the terrorists that are controlling these fake democracies with their political propaganda, their brainwashing devices. So when you're waking up to this, it's like, you know, I don't have all the tools that you need to fix your problems. I don't have all the tools I need to fix my problem. But this is one tool. One of the biggest problems that you've got is the system itself. It is going to steal your children. It's going to plunge you into eternal poverty. It's going to keep you in the gutter. And if you find some way of getting out the gutter, they'll find some new, they'll just make up new rules and regulations to make it impossible for the people they want in that gutter to remain in that gutter. Because that's what they're all about. These are the people that create money out of thin air and then ask questions in their media corporation saying, what can we do about poverty? You could stop, like, forcing people into the gutter because of your political, your pursuit of political power. This is not, you know, this is about the love of power these people have. They have no capacity to love their fellow human beings. If they did, they'd be like, well, wait a minute, I'm not joining the police, I'm not joining the military, I'm not joining this organisation, which is, you know, stealing children, killing people, engaged in all these crimes against humanity. You wouldn't have to know phrases like crimes against humanity just to know they were intrinsically wrong. And they'll try and justify it, you know, it's a bit like Derek Chauvin and George Floyd. You know, Derek Chauvin, broad daylight, just strangles George Floyd to death on video, being video cameraed by people with their iPhones and Androids. It became viral on an internet that was less controlled and restricted than what it is today. People would have, there's probably people still suffering because they stood up for what was right in the process of a blue murder, a cop just killing a guy in broad daylight. And it took, the guy was still walking about free. Well, there's tons of evidence. He should have been arrested immediately for the crime of murder. and then put on trial. No, no, he was still walking about. So I was just a, and those people who are actually lending, the only evidence that was available was the evidence of George Floyd having his neck, Derek Chauvin basically put his knee into the neck of George Floyd until he was no longer breathing. Killed the man in broad daylight. And that was the only evidence that these people had available, when their whole view was, well, it must have been George Floyd's fault. They actually witnessed a cop killing an innocent man, an ostensibly innocent man, in a video, presumed innocent because that's the only evidence they've got, and they went and tried to dig dirt on George Floyd to find someone you witnessed murdering somebody in a video. They went to dig dirt on the victim of that in order to make Derek Chauvin look like a good guy, despite that's what they're like. So this isn't just the politicians and the media, these are the people who are inured by that system, staring at their televisions every day. We know concept to the idea of, like, if I was to say I don't support the European Union, there's a lot of TV consumers that would be like, oh, their automatic presumption would be that's because you hate immigrants, that's because you're patriotic, that's because you're whatever they've seen on TV. And the idea of me being able to convey what I'm really all about to these people who can't actually see me because of the lens that's been pulled over their eyes by the propagandists and their television. These people can't even see me. And it's a very uncomfortable truth. You know, where am I leading you? I'm leading you to an understanding that you're living in a system of slavery. And there are some people who would rather live in that delusion. And these people are permitted to thrive at the hands of those people who are shoring up these regimes of terror against innocent people. Because they're dumbed down cattle. And I don't like calling human beings cattle, but that's how they're being treated. And they're going along with it. And I've did my utmost to try and wake people up to that situation, but you know, when it comes down to it, what I've noticed is there are significant numbers of them. You know, if they're given the choice between obeying the master and not suffering for what is right, they will do that. And as for, you know, they'll maybe go to church on a Sunday and it's all they worship the only Son of God. But it's not only, you know, what's going on in our world today, what they're deceived about. Almost sort of kind of by choice. In the sense that when they're presented with information, they don't want to know. That's somebody else's problem. So their problems are their own problems. You know, I feel sorry for their children. I feel sorry for those people who are crushed down, you know, within these loving relationships of television fanatics that love their television celebrities more than members of their own family. But as for the people who have kind of sort of made the choice by rejecting doing the right thing, for having a nicer life, it's like, fuck them. But you know, we've got bigger problems than them, because the master race would sooner shore up the dumbed down idiots that choose to have a nicer life rather than stand up for what's right. And you know, they go to church, you know, and it's the only Son of God. Well, that's the religions that are permitted by these regimes of terror. When you read the gospel, Jesus doesn't mention the only Son of God. He's not even regarded to be the only Son of God within that narrative written in the Gospels. Whether you believe it's true or false, you know, that surely the Gospel truth is the Gospel truth at the core of Christianity. Well, the version of religion which is permitted to exist within our world in these terrorist regimes has got nothing to do with what happened in the Bible, what happened in the Gospel. Jesus does mention the sons of God, and that's not available information to those people who are just, you know, going to church on Sunday. What they actually worship is not even the church, it's their televisions. But they'll pay a wee bit of homage to a religion which is fake. Because you go into these churches and the altars are carved. And what does the Bible say about, you know, carved altars? If there's like a human hand that's been, you know, that openly, you know, if you've read the Bible and you go into a church, you see, like, well, you know, this is like the very opposite of, you know, the worship of the God of the Bible. You know, God says, thou shalt not have graven altars, and they've got graven altars all over the place. A lot of the things they say, thou shalt not do, that they're doing it. They're saying Jesus was the only Son of God, and God killed him. And it pleased God to kill him. And it's like, that's so fucked up in the head, you know. And then you realise what it is you're praying to. It's like, oh my God, that is so... So, you know, if you're just waking up to the fact that there's television propaganda that's been deceiving you your whole life, there's a whole world of truth that's beyond that blindfold you've been wearing. And when you're waking up to all of that, it can be even more terrifying than just waking up to the fact that there's a propaganda thing. The first thing you need to do is switch off your television and, you know, in a sort of way, switch off those people that believe it. And, you know, by switching off your television, I don't just mean, ah, I'll switch this button off. That's it, and then you can switch it on tomorrow again. I mean, stop believing any of the shit. There is an agenda behind it. It's all propaganda. It's all brainwashing. There's maybe a hint of truth here and a hint of truth there, and then maybe use a wee bit of truth here and a wee bit of truth there, and they'll embroider it with their agenda. Even the soap operas have agendas. You know, the stuff that you think is just there for entertainment purposes only, that has an agenda. Even your comedians that they make popular, these are people who are chosen. They've got people to thank for their positions because they've got certain views and ideologies that the people that pick and choose who's going to be famous and who's not, they desire to be, you know, loudspeakered into their enslaved audience. So when I'm saying switch it off, what I mean is, like, just reject it. You don't know what it's about. You might find something comical, you might find something entertaining, but in between the lines, was there something said that, you know, it's just so fake but entertaining? You know, it's like, oh, those anti-European Union people, they wanted to destroy the people that were coming to this country fleeing political persecution and tyrannical regimes, but they lost the vote in the last election. Reform didn't win. I'm not a voter, you know, but you get the idea that what's been placed there, you know, it's like, there is no, like, people who are in fear of political persecution by the European Union are not in line with those people who are condemning people fleeing political persecution to get into this land, you know. That's simply not the truth, but it was entertaining to hear, you know. And as for voting, well, it doesn't matter who you vote for, the European dictatorship always gets in. You maybe not have noticed that in what you consider to be entertainment. So when I'm saying switch off the TV, switch off the media, switch off the newspapers, switch off the radio, don't believe a word of it. There is always an agenda. Always. Not just sometimes they might throw in a wee bit here and there. There is always an agenda behind it. There is a whole ton of people that go into manufacturing that shit that you're consuming on TV. That's not just some celebrity that appears on stage that you happen to like. There's a whole ton of people behind that celebrity. Teleprompters. Electoral colleges standing behind your politicians. There is no democracy. And the propaganda is all fake. Now, I can understand for somebody waking up, you know, it's like, this is all too complicated. You know, there's an awful lot of really, really complicated stuff going on here, and it's too complicated for me to understand. So I'm just going to go along with what the normal is. This also is propaganda that affects your mind. The truth is actually very, very simple. You're living in a system of slavery that's using all kinds of techniques, from propaganda, cradle-to-grave systems of slavery, threats of violence, threats of, like, non-violent harms against your life for the day you were born, against you, against your parents. And this has got nothing to do with the harms that you commit against other people. This is disobedience of the master-style crimes. You know, victimless crimes because you disobeyed the system of slavery. When you can understand that, the whole world becomes extremely simple. And when you try relaying that to others, you start to realise where the complications are. Because people who are involved in slavery and the slave trade, working for the system, do not like to regard themselves as being what they are. So they'll throw up controversy when there is none. vaccines that don't work, never mind their safety, are they effective if they don't work? You try telling a vaccine pusher that vaccines don't work because they don't work. You try telling them they're ineffective and they start inventing new things saying, but people that took the vaccine suffered less pain than the people who didn't take the vaccine, therefore they were effective. And it's like, well, the original thing that was being sold by the safe and effective propaganda was that the vaccines fulfilled the purpose of being a vaccine. That is to say, those who received the vaccine would be effectively vaccinated from contracting COVID-19. The vaccines did not fulfil their purpose, they were not effective. And these people who were pushing vaccines, who don't want to acknowledge what they are, they start introducing controversies like that, you know. So when you've been born into a world that's filled with all these unnecessary controversies, and it's like, well, wait a minute, the vaccines don't work, but they do work, but they don't work, but they do, and it's really, really confusing to be living in that contradiction. You recognise that there are all these contradictions, and the truth is, it's very, very simple. The only thing that's complicated is the lies and distortions that have been subsumed into the culture, that you'd expect to believe the truth and the opposite of the truth at the same time. It's hard to work out what the truth is because of all these unnecessary things. So the truth is not complicated at all. People who are guilty of crimes against humanity introduce controversies that are non-controversial. The vaccines didn't work, there is no real controversy. But the people who have committed these crimes want to muddy the waters. And, you know, I'm not just talking about the vaccines, I'm talking about the whole system of slavery. The people who are committing these crimes against humanity create controversies where there is none. Nobody has ever consented to obeying these people who were never voted into power. It's that simple. It's slavery. And the people who are guilty of it will introduce controversies where there is none. So the thing that you have to navigate is their unnecessary controversies in order to protect their own arses from being seen for what they actually are. And that means, yeah, maybe your mother, maybe your father, maybe your brother, maybe your neighbour, maybe your auntie, maybe your uncle, maybe your friend is an enslaver. And it's just a normal thing to you because it's been a normal thing for the day you were born. And yet you've known it to be a heinous crime. And yet there it is right before your eyes. Do you believe your own eyes? Because that's the one thing the system doesn't want you to do. Because when you can see it for what it is, the system's less stable in its ability to control its human cattle, from which all the labour is extracted in order to fund the luxury lifestyles of the people at the top, but also the sort of people in the middle who are, you know, helping to enforce this horrible state of affairs for everyone else. And if you're aware of it and you're speaking openly about it, that system hates you like a disease that it needs to be rid of, because it's destroying a system of slavery which is intrinsically a disease to the human race. As for this situation, what are you going to do about it? What can you do about it? What do we do now? How are we going to undo this? Why don't we just go along with it? Because we can't think of any mechanisms to do anything about it. The first thing I have to say is that you don't discuss solutions to those people who are the problem. Those people who are the problem will say that, oh, we're on your side. Tell us what it is you intend to do. And then they'll stitch you up. Being able to work out who's who once the goggles are pulled from your eyes is a big thing, you know. Before we talk about, you know, what we're going to do about it, first of all, what are you going to do about yourself? How can you extricate yourself from the control of all these nutcases engaged in slavery and servitude, mass murders, child theft, is a normal thing that they're indoctrinating their slaves to believe is a normal thing and not immoral when they do it. They do it all the time. And then you'll maybe see a story about some ordinary person that did it to an ordinary person on TV and how evil it is. But whenever the system does it, oh no, it's always good. There's never any human, ego. There's never any human pride. There's never any human qualities to this machine. These people have problems with people that don't believe they have any obligation to serve the fake system that pretends to be serving the people it forces to serve them. That's how dramatic their lives are. You've been living in a mirror universe that doesn't even exist. And, you know, before you hear about what is the solution to all of this, first of all, extricate yourself from the problems of our world. If they're into slavery, no matter how normal it seems, if you don't extricate yourself from those people who are into slavery, the solution is not going to present itself to you, since you will simply present the dangers to their system of slavery to them. So, you know, we're never going to liberate ourselves from these tyrants if the people that we're liberating from them cannot assist in their own liberation. And there's people who, you know, they'll get alongside you. They'll be like, oh, yeah, we support you and your opposition to this. We're also opposed to this as well. When we'll all sing a chant together, when we'll all stand together. And there's Bob moving over there. Right, let's follow Bob because we're all standing together. Well, why not follow John, who's moving in that direction? So no, we're following Bob. And it's like, who are you, the dictator, to tell us to follow Bob? I want to follow John. And so you're not allowed to follow John. Well, what are we talking about? Is this to get our freedom here when we're restricted? So the people that want to follow John, let them follow John. The people that want to follow Bob, let them follow Bob. But you find that one of those two people are off to Slave Island, gathering you towards Slave Island, saying, we're all in it together, let's all stand united, let's all run in a chain gang of a crowd in this direction. And the official story is that they're like-minded to you, they support you, but you'll see that when you're sort of like, you know, given these options to follow this or follow that or follow the next thing, you see the general direction that they're moving in, and you can see where they're going to, and you can see that how like-minded they really are, when ultimately they're just trying to take you back onto Slave Island again, which is something you're attempting to escape. So the solutions are not widely visible, because the system of control, the system of slavery, is not widely visible. And the systems of slavery's deliberation to prevent the system of slavery being undermined by those who it enslaves is not widely visible. So the solutions against this enslavement cannot be widely visible when people are not awake and aware to the fact that there's deliberation to ensure this circumstance of human bondage for the cradle to the grave, taxing your labour into the dirt. So we die in poverty. Born into poverty, kept in poverty, die in poverty, while 2/3 of our labour are extracted from us through taxation and licence fees and the various monetary policies that they've got. And it simply looks like, you know, money, but the money is manufactured out of thin air by people who do no labour whatsoever and demand that in order for us to get the food and shelter that we need to labour for a system which does nothing for us, but tells us lies, deceives us to the cradle to the grave. That's the world that you're living in. So, you know, I don't have a bright fairy tale future for you. All I've got is one tool, to help you to get rid of the enslaver from your life. Keep the master race out. It's a difficult thing to do, I haven't achieved it yet. But while that has power over all of that, your children, your family life, your social life, your power to get food and shelter, you're not living in freedom, and the system doesn't want you to know that. So thanks very much for listening.